of you that are recurring, we want to say welcome back. It is such an honor to have you connected to our prophetic prayer partnership. We are looking for the hand of God to meet us tonight. The Lord has certainly been amidst us. And I want to say this to you, wherever there is prayer, there will always be a move of God. I want you to understand that. I want you to grasp that. I want you to always keep that in your spirit. Wherever there is prayer, wherever prayers are being made, there will always be a move of God. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, if there is prayer, if there is a seeking of the face of God, then he will hear from heaven. He'll forgive sins. He'll heal the land. The move of God always accompanies sincere and genuine prayer. So, this is very important what we do. This is not just for formality. This is not just for fellowship. This is not to gain subscription. This is not to gain membership to a church. This is to invoke the presence of the Lord and to provoke a move of God. We are in need of a move of God. And contrary to all that is transpiring around us, I am convinced that there is a move of God on the horizon, and God is going to show himself strong and he will demonstrate his power. As I began to share yesterday in the sanctuary for our time of the word, that the God that we serve is not just a saying God, not just a speaking God, but he is a doing God. The move of God, the hand of God is demonstrative, and God has no issue at all showing forth his mighty power. So I want you to believe in the power of prayer. I want you to commit yourself to the time of prayer. And I want you to be so intentional about it that you let nothing interrupt your time of prayer. Prayer is the way to invoke and provoke the move of God. If there's going to be a move of God, it is only because there are a people who are committed to praying. I'm so glad to have this time with you tonight. And as we have been sharing and talking about all month long, we've been talking about guarding our faith. We've been talking about guarding our faith. And tonight, I want to go deeper into that very concept, the very concept of guarding faith, guarding your faith. Can I share with you that as we've been talking and as we have been imparting into your lives over this past month concerning this subject, we have dealt with the outsourcing. We have dealt with the contradictions, the controversies, and the conflicts of the outsource. We've been really focused on guarding our faith and protecting our faith against the contaminants of the outsource, what comes against us externally. But tonight, I want to really deal with, because this morning's prayer was so very powerful, and this scripture that I gave the people of God in the morning prayer has not turned me loose all day. I want to impart into you tonight about the conflict from within and how the inner enemy. I want you to hear that. The inner enemy, the enemy that is within us, often seeks to offset our faith and to take us from a place of consecrated, concentrated focus. The enemy does not want us to believe, and he will sometimes and at many times use us against ourselves, use our own language, our own thought patterns. The enemy will use us against us. And I want to share with you that while you are being observant and discerning about the things that transpire externally, you better be even more so discerning and observant about the things that are transpiring inwardly. You had better be on guard, even where it pertains yourself. How we feel, what we express, what we allow, what we permit, what we reject, what we don't feel like engaging, what we feel like engaging. There are so many things within us that need monitoring because those things can be just as much of a detriment, hear me, to our faith than what is going on externally. We're so busy worried about enemies outwardly and externally that we're not paying attention to the inner me, who also can be a formidable enemy. I don't know about you, but I have been an enemy to myself. Close to a breakthrough, yet talking my way out of the breakthrough that I'm close to. On the verge of something tremendous, yet allowing anxiety to get the better and to get the best of me. We talk about everything else that happens. Who said what about us? Who's plotting what against us? Who's sabotaging us? But have we first and have we foremost looked within to see what we have done to sabotage ourselves? What we have done to hinder ourselves? What we have done to prohibit ourselves? I want you to hear me tonight that the enemy of our soul is at many times we ourselves. My own patterns, my own behaviors, my own thoughts, my own connections, my own appetencies, my own lackadaisicalness. It is me. It is me. I want you to declare that. I want you to declare that ex I want you to declare that openly. I want you to make it audible because a lot of the times we don't like to accept or own the blame or own the responsibility. But I would that you would declare it with me tonight. It's me. It's me. It's what I permit. It's what I allow. It's what I embrace. It's me. It's me. It's what I like. It's what I prefer. And at many times, I'm so locked into my own comfort that I don't want to be disrupted from that place of comfort, from that place of settling, from that place, amen, that has me regimented, regularity, normalcy. I don't want to be disrupted from there. So faith can be a major disruptor to my own personal comfort. And where faith is trying to take me, there is a part of me that's too afraid to go or even unwilling to go. So I'm at a war within myself. Paul says it in Romans chapter number 7. He talks about the war that is within his members. He speaks about it. And although he's talking about himself, he is speaking of the body of Christ at large, that we each have a war within our personal members, that every time we would to do good, evil is present. Every time we want to do something productive, amen, laziness is present. Every time we want to advance and be progressive, normalcy is present. Regularity is present. And any disruption to that becomes an enemy. And so while we should be moving in faith, many of us, if we are honest, have fought faith. We have fought against faith. And we have misjudged and mischaracterized the voice of faith for the voice of the enemy. We have allowed our own minds to be deceived into thinking that the voice of faith is the voice of Satan the devil. And the truth is, it is not Satan the devil. It is God calling out to us, challenging us to do something against the grain, challenging us to do things that at times would even bring us into direct conflict with previous choices we have made. I hear the Lord saying tonight, guard your faith against you. Guard your faith against your own thoughts. Guard your faith against your overthinking. Guard your faith against your self-sabotage. Guard your faith against your own insecurities. Guard your faith because your own voice can be your own limitations. Your own voice can be your own barrier. Your own voice, your own thoughts, your own consciousness can build a ceiling over your head while you're still growing. And I want to share with someone tonight who would dare to hear this prophetic impartation, you're still growing. I want you to declare that with me tonight. I'm still growing. I'm still growing. And I can hear some of you. Some of you are saying, well, I'm at a particular age. I should be slowing down. I'm at a particular age. I should be settling down and I should be ready to pass the mantle and I should be. And I hear you. But I'm trying to tell you that it is those thoughts that have been the prohibition and the prevention toward your growth. You're still growing. There is still so much more for you to uncover, unveil, to learn, even about yourself. Yes, we are ever learning about God, but we're also learning about ourselves. We are discovering our potentials and our giftedness, the fullness of our skill set. We are still uncovering who we are. So don't put a ceiling over yourself while you're still growing. Don't allow your own personal insecurities to keep you locked into a particular space that God is growing you out of. It is your own thoughts that can become your own affliction. It is your own thoughts that can become your own depression. You have locked yourself into a prison. Here is what I discovered. What I discovered about me, and maybe many of you listening will be able to admit it about you. What I discovered about me is that I really didn't care what they were saying externally about me, but I used what they were saying externally about me to confirm what I was thinking about myself. See, we use the sounding board of what the opinions and the criticisms of others may be as an excuse to fortify the self-doubt and the self-sabotage that we are doing within ourselves. These are not their thoughts. They don't originate from them. And I don't know who your them is. I know who my thems are. Praise God. But they don't originate. These thoughts don't originate with them. They originate with me. And you ready for this? Oftentimes, I thought they were saying things about me that I was saying about myself. They didn't even say it. They didn't even think it. They didn't even have the capacity to have that level of knowledge and information. It was me. And psychologically, I was creating this world of criticism, this world of ostracism. I was creating this world around me because it had a core within me. And I want to share with you, it is time for us to take control of what's transpiring inwardly. Because what I have also discovered is what you think of yourself will become what others will say about you. In other words, if you switch it, if you change it, if you shift it, then everything else will come into alignment. That's the power of faith. That's why you've got to guard it. Even against your own voice, you've got to guard the faith. So, this way, you are not succumbing and you are not beat down beneath the pressure of negativity. Guard your faith. Guard your faith. Some of you may ask, what scripture did you give this morning, Bishop Nixon? I want to share it with you tonight. This scripture comes from Jeremiah's Lamentation. So it's the book of Lamentations, chapter number 3, And it's beginning at verse number 19. And we're going to read down just a little ways because I want to give it to you. Those of you that were on this morning, you'll get it again. You'll understand it even the more. Let's go to verse 19. It says, "The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall." In other words, everything about the negative in my life is eating away. It's crippling. It's debilitating. It's slowing, it's nauseating, it's sickening. I want you to hear me. These thoughts are eating away at us. And then at verse 20, it says, "My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me." As I continue to think on the negative, as I continue to think on the things that are going wrong, I'm continuously spiraling into a deep, dark abyss, a deep, dark depression. The more you allow yourself to remain there mentally, the more you allow yourself to remain there emotionally, it's going to be more difficult for you to recover, more difficult for you to get up. And so you have to become aggressive in not allowing yourself to remain in a space that feeds your negativity, that feeds your insecurity, that feeds your inability. You cannot stay there. I cannot stay there. I want you to recite that to yourself right now. Yes, right now, I want you to recite it to yourself. I cannot stay there. I cannot stay there. I cannot stay there. The enemy wants you to think you have to remain there, but you are not those things. You are not that limitation. You are not those blockages. You are not the mistakes you've made. You are not the choices you have made. Sisters and brothers, those choices, those mistakes are lessons. They are there to fortify your evolution. They are there as points of reference so that you can be a place and a resource of wisdom, knowledge, understanding that you can impart into those who will come up behind you. You have made those mistakes. Yes, they may have been painful, but they are not your permanent. They are not your prison. Mistakes, my God, may be painful, but they are not your prison. Move from there. You cannot stay there. You cannot remain there. Time served there is complete. Get up from there and move beyond that particular place. The lamentation or the lament of Jeremiah is, "My soul continually thinks of it, and as I continue to think of it, I'm bowed down within myself. I'm messed up. I've made myself sick over this. I have stretched myself and stressed myself." Who is God talking to tonight on the conference line? Who is God talking to tonight on the Zoom platform? You have been stretched and stressed, and you keep bowing yourself over within. But I want to remind you of what verse number 21 says. Jeremiah says, "But I call to mind, I call this thing to mind. But this I call to mind." In other words, I'm not allowing myself to stay in this particular place negatively. I am now calling another set of thoughts to my mind. I'm calling another pattern of thoughts to my mind. I'm calling a new set of ideas, a new concept. I'm bringing something fresh to my mind because I got to get up from here. I got to get up from here. And anything that's keeping me low, I got to get up from there. I got to think on something different. Wasn't it Paul that said, "Whatsoever things are good and lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and whatsoever things are true?" Didn't he say, "Think on these things"? It is important that we take control of our thoughts, take control of our thoughts, that nothing negative is able to impede our thoughts and take over our thoughts and arrest our thoughts and overwhelm our thoughts. He says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So what I'm thinking is now shifting my perspective. It's shifting my outlook. He says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Verse 22, and then verse 23, it says, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Verse 24, he says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. He shifted his whole trajectory by changing what he thought, changing how he thought, changing what he allowed to enter into his mind. Nothing happened externally to shift Jeremiah. Jeremiah was responsible for his own shift. That's the word of the Lord to you tonight. Be responsible for your own shift. God has given you enough resources for you to shift your own self, to shift your own mind. My God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I feel the anointing of God. Somebody is listening to me. Somebody is listening attentively and intently. You are hearing not only the voice of the bishop, but you are hearing the voice of the Lord through the bishop. You know that this share tonight is a confirmation for you. This is your confirmation. This is all you needed to hear to get up and make the shift. The shift is your responsibility, your shift. Can you say that? My shift is my responsibility. You have been so instrumental shifting the lives of others through your positive words, through your presence, through your intervention, through your intercession, through all of the ways that you have been a blessing to others, but you have neglected you. You have built everyone else and have neglected you. But this shift must begin now. And your shift is your responsibility. He says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. When I change my thoughts, my God, this is blessing me. I'm telling y'all, it would not turn me loose all day. When I change my thoughts, I change my life. When I change my thoughts, I change my outcome. When I change my thoughts, I change my energy. When I change my thoughts, I change my perspective. Everything changes when my thoughts change. Either my thoughts are my prison or my thoughts are my launching pad. And I want to share with you that you need to choose the latter. You need to allow your thoughts to be your launching pad, not your prison. Get up from it. Guard your faith, even from yourself. Guard your faith, even from yourself, because nobody can do more damage to your faith than you. It is time for you to get up from there. I'm excited to pray with and for you tonight. I'm so delighted for what God is doing. I'm telling you, the presence of the Lord is mighty, and the presence of the Lord is so strong, and the people of God are tremendously blessed. I have a praise report tonight that comes from Justin Mack. And Justin Mack says, blessings, Bishop Nixon. My dad, Reverend William Mack, just completed his radiation for his cancer, and he is healed. We praise God for you, Justin, and we thank God for what God is continuously doing for your father. Please know that we are continuously praying for him and all of you, amen, who have, amen, those that are battling with cancer even currently. We are praying the strength of those individuals and the families that surround them. We are praying for those of you who have submitted your prayer requests. Amen. Shalisa Watson, Patricia Hill, Andre Hill, Cynthia Hardy, Pamela Edie, Mary Silvers, Patsy Rizzo, Amani Madison, amen. Delana Hills, I'm sorry, Delana Leslie, Antoinette Williams, Rochelle Maxwell, Ruth Aileen, Johnny Stafford, Radonia Johnson, Carolyn Cymru, Bertha Hughes, Jennifer Denton, Merritt and Taj Mileti Freeman, Jaina Thompson, Martin Merced, Denise Bryant Brooks, Janet Durbin, Verna Simmons, Latoya Nugent, Justin Mack, Bonita Clark, Benjamin Payton, Celeste Johnson, Rosalinda Archbold, Derek Dominic, Nyasha Cooper, Diane Harge, Lorraine Williams, Diamond Smichael, and Ioana Johnson. We are praying for those of you who have submitted, and I'm telling you, I believe that God is doing the best. He is doing the best for you. He is moving with great intentions, and I know that God is on the case. Thank you. I see on the Zoom platform the submitted prayer request, amen, by Diana Dehaney. Amen. I hope I said that correctly. Amen. We are praying for you and we are praying for your prayer request. All right. Let's look to the Lord tonight in prayer. Sisters and brothers, God is up to something. Father, I thank you. I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you praise. Your name alone is worthy. Your name alone is holy. Your name alone is righteous. Father, we come to your name because your name has proven to be a strong tower. We can find safety, protection. We can find all that we need as we come into the power that's found in your name. We can run in and find that safety. Thank you for being that place of protection, but not only the place of protection, but you have been our defense, not only our place of refuge, but you have been our fortress. It is a place where the enemy can be thwarted and the enemy can be warded off. Father, you continue to not only protect, but you continue to provide for us. And we want to say thank you. Thank you for keeping a watch over us. Now, Father, I believe in the power of the supernatural. I unequivocally and undoubtedly believe in the power of the supernatural. And I believe, God, that the more we pray, the more we seek you, the more we come before you, that you are dispatching and dispersing angels to be on the look and to be on the watch. I thank you that they are not only on the look and on the watch, but Father, I believe they are on the patrol, that they are walking about, that they are surrounding quarters, that they are surrounding regions, that they are building up walls of defense that the enemy cannot penetrate and get through. Father, deliver us from self-sabotaging and self-afflicting thoughts, things that would come to hinder, things that would come to prohibit, things that would come to destroy, things that would come to tear asunder. Father, undergird with your strength tonight. Undergird your people, those that are on the Zoom platform, those that are on the conference line. We are thanking you now and we are thanking you tonight. We're thanking you with all fervor that we believe in the power of prayer. We are believing in the power of intercession. Father, tonight, you are reminding us that if we can think toward it, then we can have it. We can obtain it. Father, we want to believe. We want the chains and the barriers to be broken off of our minds that we may begin to see and conceive and perceive beyond the limitations of yesterday and yesteryear. Father, I thank you that what is coming will be greater. What is coming will be better. That even the suffering through humiliation and embarrassment will work to the benefit of the believer. Father, we stand in agreement tonight. We stand in agreement for every individual who is underneath the sound of my voice. Let your spirit make alive. Let your spirit bring into fruition. Let your spirit cause us to flourish. We're speaking for faith to come alive in this hour and for faith to be divinely protected. I thank you that even now our shift is beginning, that you are causing us to move from places of negativity into places of positivity, from places, oh God, of unpredictability productivity, into places of progression and productivity. Father, you're doing something new. You're doing something refreshing. You're doing something rejuvenating. You are reviving our souls. Thank you for bringing the vibrancy back. Father, I thank you that one can chase 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight. We will not fear the arrow that flies by day. We will not fear. We will not fear the terror by the night. Father, you have given us all authority. You have given us full power over any and every darkness, not just externally, but also internally. God, help our resolve within. Help our thoughts within. In the name of the Lord Jesus, bring our thoughts in congruency with your will and with your word and with your way. We thank you now for all that has transpired, but then more importantly, we thank you for what will transpire. Put somebody back on their post. Put the prayer warrior back on their post. Put the intercessor back on their post. Put the prophets back on their post. Put the teachers back on their post. Father, we thank you that even now, discouragement and despondent will not prevail. You are bringing us back from places of disparity and obscurity, and you are causing us to be restored in your presence. Not only restored, but reconciled. We thank you for reconciliation. We thank you for what you have established in the spirit world. Father, we are praying now. We are praying that your peace would surpass understanding and infiltrate our minds. In the name of the Lord Jesus, flood out all wicked, evil, diabolical, satanic thoughts. Flood them out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not be weary in our well-doing. Help us, oh God, to stand firm. We need a firm standing. You have provided for us a firm foundation. And as long as we stand upon you, you are the rock. You said that you were the rock, and we could stand upon the rock. The rock is solid. The rock is sure. The rock is confirming. The rock is certain. Father, I thank you for being that rock beneath us, that when the ground around us seemed to be sinking some kind of way, you still have us standing. You're providing for us stability. You're providing for us a promise. You're providing for us a security. And we thank you that we will not waver in this hour. We will not fade, nor will we faint in this hour. We will stand on your word. We will not lean, not even to our own understanding, but we will trust you in all things. Move by your spirit. Move by your power. Move, move, move. For you are a moving God. You're a demonstrative God. You're moving through demonstration. Show us signs, miracles, and wonders that we may believe and others around us may believe. We thank you now that you are our God. You're looking out for us. We will not regress. We will not go backward. We will not repeat. We will not be in end up in a cycle, but we will progress. We will go forward. We will go forward with strength and with power and with all of our might. We will move as you behest. We will move as you command. And we thank you that you're lifting the heavy load that has been upon us. My God, you're giving us a freedom in your presence. You are delivering us from all things that have had us oppressed and depressed from yesterday and yesteryear. You're doing something fresh, new. You are renewing our strength. And we thank you now. You're adding your strength to our strength, and we're moving in supernatural strength. Father, I thank you that not only that, but you're downloading to us strategies. You're giving us strategies, strategies for a successful future, strategies for the promised future, the future you promised us. There is nothing that is coming that you have not forewarned us, that you have not foretold us. You have given us what we need to know, the blueprint. Now open up our eyes that we may see you. Open up our ears that we may hear you. Father, we want an openness of the heart that we may receive you. My God, open up our mind that we can conceive you. We thank you. We thank you for your plan. Your plan is good. It is perfect. It is acceptable. It is for our good. It is for our benefit, and nothing shall separate us from it. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight for the joy that is being fulfilled. For the joy that is being fulfilled. Our joy is being fulfilled in your presence, and we thank you for it. Now, Lord, as we connect in faith, help us, oh God, to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Don't let us remain on the levels we've been, but take us from faith to faith. Take us from glory to glory. Move by your spirit like only you can. And we thank you. We thank you that the results will not only be processed, but we thank you for immediate results. We thank you for what you're doing in the immediacy. We thank you that as we receive, you're working. As we receive, you're moving. As we receive, you're determining. For men make predictions, but God, you determine. And we thank you that your determination is settled. It is settled before the foundation of the world. It is settled in the heavens. You said that heaven and earth would pass, but your word would stand. It would stand. And before your word fall to the ground, heaven and earth must pass. Father, your word, make your word to come alive. Make your word to come alive in our families, in our homes. Make your word to come alive in our workplaces, in our school places. Make your word to come alive in the hospitals, in the workforce. Thank you for your word coming alive with the military. Thank you for your word coming alive with politics and government. We thank you for your word coming alive. We shall not shake. We shall not waver. We shall watch you work, and we shall give you the glory in spite of it all. We shall give you the glory regardless to what, because you're working it together. You're bringing all the components together, all the ingredients together, and you're working it together for our good. And we say yes, and we say yes, and we say thank you, and we say glory, and we say hallelujah, and we say it's done. In the name of Jesus, we say thank God, and we say amen. Come on, sisters and brothers, let's begin to let's begin to lift God. Let's begin to praise him. Let's begin to honor him. Let's begin to worship him. He's so worthy, my God. He's so holy. He's so excellent. Amen. There is no God likened unto our God. We bless his holy name. Beside him, there is no other. He is the supreme one, the ultimate one, and we give him glory. There's a quickening in the spirit tonight. My God, there's a quickening in the spirit tonight. What we have prayed for, the Lord has heard. What we have prayed for, the Lord will answer. What we have prayed for, will reveal, and we give God the glory. We give God the honor for it. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'm telling you, shift your thoughts and you're going to shift your life. Change what you're thinking and you're going to change what you're seeing. Sisters and brothers, this is the day to shift. Guard your faith even from yourself. My God, we are on fire in the things of God. I'm telling you, it feels like there is a season of revival happening. It feels like there is a season of renewal happening, a refreshing that's transpiring. It's happening in our prayer calls. It's happening in our teaching portal. It's happening in our services. I'm telling you, something special is taking place. It is a divine, supernaturally divine moment, and you don't want to miss what God is doing. Join me again in the morning. I will be praying all this week at the 7 a.m. hour. You can join me right there in the conference call. I'll be right there, 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Amen. Releasing to you another powerful prayer and another powerful word that will carry you through your Tuesday. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, shift your thoughts and you will shift your life. Good night, everybody.